grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. Our text is the epistle lesson you have in front of you, and I hope you'll kind of glance at that. I'll reread parts of it, but I'm King James Version, so it might be a little different. But the hymns this morning, you know, those are my favorite. I don't do them every time, but look at the theme today. Follow His steps is the theme. So stand up for Jesus and honor Christian soldiers. So I got an excuse this time. I always have an excuse. Because they're beautiful messages we have in Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends. As we look at this text today, I always want to preach on this text after I preach on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are bringing death and destruction without the blood of Jesus. We need to hear the ongoing part, the law. The law. What the law do? Catechism class, it shows our sin. Shows our sin. Three purposes. The first one's a mirror. For years, I had a film strip. It used to be film strip. One at a time, the strip. And I had an adult class that I would use film strip for as a guide and lecture on each picture. And the picture, starting the section on law, had a picture of a big mirror here. On the top of the mirror, it said, the Ten Commandments. In the picture was a picture of a man, and I always imagine my picture there, and across in big letters it said, "You are a sinner." Because that's the purpose of the law. To show us our sins. To show us the need of a Savior. And so it is necessary to preach the law before the gospel has any meaning. Because if you don't think you're a sinner, you don't need forgiveness. But then the follow-up, after this, they had a picture of the gospel. Didn't have any words at all. It was a big picture of Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head, with blood and sweat running down his face. He said, God is love. And to me, it finally wore out the picture. The film strip deal wore out and they didn't make them anymore. I used it so many years. But you were beautiful messages that's my message for today. We heard the gospel also last Sunday, but today we look at some other uses of the law. The first one is the mirror, and then the curb. You know, the curb kind of holds, laws keep people in check. A curb kind of keeps the car in the road. Oh, you can jump up over the curb and you got hit up against it, jump over. But that's the way the law was. And that's why God needed to give the Ten Commandments, because the curb of the law couldn't be ignored. We'd act like that curb wasn't there. And we'd jump right over it. Our conscience would accuse us and convince us that we were sinners. It's wrong, but we could tell our conscience, shut up. Shut up. Then our conscience would kind of lull down and go to sleep. So sometimes we would put our conscience to sleep. But then the third rule of the law is what our text is about today. A rule to live by. A rule to live by. Today, St. Peter's been or done that. He was a fisherman. He trusted God and distrusted Him. He had his strong times and his weak times. He had to deal, and sometimes he'd look at the law and he'd see the picture of, look, what a good guy I am. Lord, all these other guys, they might leave you and run away. Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In this text for today, Peter's looking in that mirror and seeing what he was before. How he thought he had it all. He thought he knew it all. He thought he was invincible. He thought he could walk on water, and he did. He did, until he took his eyes off of Jesus. That was Simon Peter. But what a changed man he was after the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And he learned what it really is like to walk in the steps of Jesus. And he found out finally, because he was crucified finally, and tradition says that not only was he crucified, but he said he was unworthy to be crucified like Christ and asked to be crucified upside down. And he's the one coming us today now and saying, follow in his steps. So this is what we want to look at today on the basis of our text, is the third use of the law, which is a guide to live by. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments, a guide to live by. And as I said last Sunday, it's not too popular to hear about the law, and we have to keep hearing the law to understand what's happening to us. Because it isn't a one-time thing. We turn to Jesus and forget about it. If you look in your text there, the last verse is what's important to look at. After you're telling all these things, probably said about what Jesus had done for us, and then says, for you were straying like sheep and have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We're still sheep. We're still sheep. But now we have a shepherd, a pastor, and our Lord to lead us in the way, to hold us in that faith, an overseer to look over us. The Bible says about the ministry, obey them that have their rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. Pastor Dave on Judgment Day is going to have to answer for your soul and mine. Why do you think he and I preach so much about getting into the Word? Because we know how it is that you stay in the faith. You need that Word. You need the Word to stay in the faith and to walk in His steps. That's the only way. Christianity isn't for cowards. We hear a lot over where I live now, independent living, and I'm freer. I'm over 95 years old. So the fact that I'll be 90 my next birthday, I'm a young guy. I said, I'm getting adjusted to live with the older people. But the very clear message is there, old age ain't for sissies. Because everybody's got their aches and pains and keep coming back again and again. And yet we have a beautiful message of Jesus throughout that place. We have a core of Christians there that profess Jesus and know that without Him, we have nothing. Knowing that we're all in the twilight years of our lives. But did you know something else? It isn't just us in the independent living. You and I, today or tomorrow, could be our last day. Today or tomorrow, the Lord could come again, and the signs are being fulfilled. And that's why every day of our lives, and that's what Peter wants us to remember, that we are to walk in His steps, to remember how He wants us to walk. Our text says in King James, neither was guile found in his mouth. guile, no foul speech, no guilt, no way you could accuse him for what he said. But they didn't like what he said. He spoke strong law. Pharisees, hypocrites, strong law to sinners. But yet always after that was holding out his hands. Holding out his hands to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden with what? With your sins. Come and I will give you rest. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. To make fun of him. Saved others. Come down from the cross if you're Jesus. Didn't realize he could have done that in heaven. Anytime he could have come off that cross, you and I would be in hell forever. But he didn't. He was reviled. They made fun of him, cursed him, beat him, crowned him with thorns, everything else, and yet he did not complain. As they were doing this, turned out, maybe he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that they're smiting the very Son of God, the living God that came to save them from their sins. He didn't make fun of them, but they made fun of him. They crucified him. Vengeance is mine. He says, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't fight back. Hard not to fight back, isn't it? When somebody makes fun of us, first thing, defend ourselves. Don't like it. Don't like it. When we're driving on the road, somebody cuts us off. What do we want to do? But that's what we want to do. And this is Peter telling us what Jesus would do. We are to walk in his steps. And he takes it all. He takes it all. He says, because of Jesus. And I can take it, but he needs Jesus every day. Peter realized that ever so much after that last time. And then Jesus sitting down three times, Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Because of the three denials. And after that, his life was changed. After that, he realized he was still a sinner. Peter and Paul had some disagreements and disagreed. Sometimes Peter was right, sometimes Paul was right. But they still knew that Jesus was there, the shepherd and bishop, the overseer of their souls. And so they knew to come to Jesus. And that was the way. And so for us, it takes courage to walk in the steps of Jesus. It takes courage, and we are weak. We have to admit we are weak, otherwise we're in trouble. Sometimes people think the pastor gets in the pulpit, boy, he's up there and he's got the answer. Every time I'm in the pulpit, I know it's only by the grace of God that I'm here. That I'm still able to preach the word at my age, I think, is a blessing, but from the time I was young, I knew I was nervous every time I got in the pulpit. I even talked to my speech instructor and sermon. He said, if you get in the pulpit, you're not nervous. He said, you're not going to have a good sermon. If you don't realize that responsibility that you have, because you're in there to proclaim Jesus to lost sinners, to straying sinners, maybe to some that have never heard of Jesus. And since you dare never be in there like Peter said, all the other pastors, they might be nervous getting it, but me, I'm not. Should not be. Because we are the living presence of God and we are the spokesman for the Lord to bring this message of forgiveness and reconciliation to all people. Not to just our friends, but to our enemies, to everybody, to tell about Jesus. The basic question is, do we trust Jesus enough to walk in His steps? Because it does make us different from the world. And the world today in America is so different. So different. We don't know what to expect in the next year, the next 2 years, or 3 years. Don't know what to expect in America because of the hatred that is around us. The hatred that is out there where people shout and riot and kill and just because we're different. We're different. Our world in America today, our country in America, doesn't like Christians. They don't like it when we live and walk in the steps of Jesus. And when they're like some of these, if you watch any of the soccer games, how they often trip one another. That's what the world tries to do with us as Christians. They see us really coming and we're about ready to score a goal. They stick their foot out. That's how the devil works. Stick the foot out and try to trip them up. And this is the devil at work in America today, and he's having his will. He's having a heyday in America today. But we can stand up to him. We can stand up for Jesus, not because we are strong, but because we have a shepherd that died for us, died for a sheep, and then raised himself and still cares and takes care of the sheep and will hold them fast in the faith unto everlasting life. So we must walk in his steps, follow in his footsteps. But sometimes we're not real sure what God wants us to do. There are some decisions in life not written on the wall. In my younger days, I wish God would have written on the wall for me. And then later, he had. I told you about this. I'm going to tell you again in case it happens in your life. When I was in junior confirmation class, I had a missionary from Guatemala who was teaching the class. And boy, was I enthused. I want to be a missionary. Seventh grade. I want to be a missionary to Guatemala. And then the eighth grade is when the ladies' aid of St. Paul Lutheran Church, Cuba, Missouri, said that we're going to raise money and we're going to send Johnny, they used to call me, and Eddie and Herman to Concordia, Missouri, to go to high school, prep school, then go Fort Wayne, and then go St. 12 years. I was 12 years old when they wanted me to go to school for 12 years, like my whole life. And I said, no way. And neither did the other two. But then after this, I was halfway through my senior year in high school, and the Korean War was about to end. And I heard about the Korean War, GI Bill, and I dropped out of high school and joined the Army. Thankfully, I fought the Korean War in Germany. If you fight the Korean War, that's the place to go. But I get out of the Army. It's January when I get out of the Army. So I had until September to decide, okay, what am I going to do? That was a miserable 6 months. Because I wasn't sure. And that's when Jim Kaltoff, who was district president of Missouri for years, was a member there, and we'd go play basketball at a different church. And he said, I'm going to seminary in Springfield, Illinois. Hey, maybe I should check in. First, you'll have a high school diploma. I said, well, I took GED in the Army. Nah, that didn't count. But the name Doutenhahn at that time had a lot of Lutheran ministers, and my one uncle was pastor right off the campus earlier, right there in Springfield. And finally, I guess because of the name, they let me in. They didn't have room in the dormitory, so there were 10 of us last-minute ones that were living in a classroom and bunk beds, a lot closer together than when I was in the Army. And here I am sitting there. But you know, the Lord made the decisions right on time. He just had it up for me all along. What I was going to do, that would have been fine. But the Lord gets His way in our lives, and that's what's important for us. And many of my classmates in the seminary were the reason I went there. Was a 6-year program instead of a 12-year program. And I could go through it 6 years. And it was designed for older people entering the ministry. And our church still needs to do that again today. But they did away with my second year of seminary. They did away with the pre-sem and the 6-year program. And today we are in desperate need of pastors. We don't have enough. And again, the same question here. 12 years? Oh. And but people that are out in life are entering the seminary now. Christ the King up there, heard they had a student from the seminary preach Sunday, said he had been a CPA. And see, he was a fantastic preacher. They said he was good. The only problem said he knew he was good. Apparently, this little property said you could tell he was from Texas. But said he had a fantastic sermon. And this is the answer. You know, sometimes we have what God wants to do, and God tells us what we're doing. What? Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't hear you. Lord, I don't hear you. And we want to go our own ways. You know, whatever it is we want to do, we sometimes want to make up our own mind and say, Lord, what do you really want me to do? And then get up and do it. That's what this text is about, to do it. You know, we don't have that ability, the strength. I can't be a preacher. How many of you said, could I ever be a preacher? Do you really know? I didn't think I could be. And by the grace of God, I'm still preaching. So the question needs to be answered. The one question, we're going to look at a couple questions that should never be asked by Christians. You know, a lot of questions need to ask on the basis of this. One question should never be asked among Christians is, are we going to church Sunday? Never. I didn't know when I grew up. Well, maybe that's why it's so easy for me. When I grew up, it was never a question, we're going to church. We lived down really in a log cabin down the Ozarks, and we went to church. The family had 12 kids in the back of a Model T truck. As kids with a tarpaulin over us. It was 10 miles from Platte, Missouri into Festus, Crystal City, where the church was, and it took us about an hour to get there. And we thought that was normal. We thought it was normal. We never thought anything about it. But this is what's important today, is what does God want us to do? And well, sometimes we think there are hardships there, and well, we're not sure if that's what we really should do. But the one question, like I say, are we going to church today? Are we going to read the Bible? Are we going to pray at meal times? Are we going to study the Bible? Are we going to go to Bible classes and study the Word? Are we going to tell people about Jesus? You know, we don't have the option there by telling people about Jesus. I used to preach until my wife made fun of me because of mission festivals, and verse from the South. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Very simple. But I preached on too many times, I think, because she could have preached it probably better. But anyway, this is what it's all about, though. That's what it's about. about? All power is given to me. I have redeemed you. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we have heard again the Ten Commandments last Sunday. We have heard again today what God wants us to do about it. And now it's up to us, tomorrow and the next day and the rest of our lives, to look again and again at St. Peter. And remember, as you read Peter, you're reading about somebody that was up and down, was strong and weak. And that's why he's so good to read. But read Peter and see, as one who had been there, done that, and he can tell you how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to walk in his way. And then that we would, for the rest of our lives, however long or short they might be, is ask every day when we get up in the morning and decide what's going to happen today, as in our table down at breakfast there, what are you going to do? Well, we went to Walmart last week. We're going to go to Walmart again this week. But what are we going to do? And that's the question we should ask everyone. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And is there somebody, Lord, that you want me to reach today with the gospel of Jesus? Amen. Now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.